gaze at my own body. I'm lying on a bed, surrounded by corpses, at the exact end of a ley line that connected the capital with its dead underbelly, the citadel of silence in the English countryside. And they're trying to do something awful, using me as a vessel, but it failed. Just like my attempt to use the energy of my own death to summon the Eaters in the night.
By the blood of the newborn be you bound to this flesh, this body, and this will.
Iris's voice is a dissonant screech like nails on a blackboard, compelling and revolting, impossible to ignore. I open my eyes. She stands beside the bed, holding the silver goblet before my chin. It's full to brimming with dark fluid, thick and warm and amazingly wonderful to smell, and I finally twig. That's not wine. I try to turn my head away, but two of her followers grasp me with gloved hands and push me up, straining against the ropes and brutally stretching my sore arm.
I command you and name you, Eater of Souls and Master of Erdeni Zu. I name you again, Heir of Burdakovsky's Flesh, and I bind you to service in the name of the Black Pharaoh, Nyarlathotep.
Then they pry my jaws open and stick a funnel in my mouth and start pouring while some bastard grips my nostrils shut, giving me a choice between drowning and swallowing.
There,
says Iris, smiling at me as she hands the half-empty goblet to her daughter.
Isn't it so much better now?
I roll my eyes, force saliva, and spit. I'm not aiming at Iris, I'm just trying to clean the taste from my tongue, but her smile slips.
Hey now, I didn't give you permission to do that. No spitting. Do you understand?
I bite my tongue before I succumb to the impulse to tell her where to shove it. I want to be rid of these ropes. There are things waiting outside in the dark, learning once again how bones and sinews are articulated, and I don't want to be tied up down here when they arrive. Her words of binding slide over and past me, like a fishing line with rotten, unappetizing bait. But if I really was the Eater of Souls, they'd sink into my inner ears like barbed wire kisses. The only way out of here is to convince Iris that her little ritual worked. I'll just have to pretend.
I understand,
I croak after a brief pause, and it's not hard to sound utterly unlike myself.
Mistress.
The fat, happy smile begins to steal back across her face.
Here are your orders. You will serve the goals and rules of the Brotherhood of the Black Pharaoh. You will not attack or attempt to damage any of the Brotherhood under penalty of the binding I hold over you. You will not reveal your true nature to anyone outside the Brotherhood without my permission. And you will inform me at once if you suspect you are under suspicion. Do you understand?
That's a no-brainer.
Yes, mistress,
I say, looking her in the eyes. Her face has an unhealthy greenish sheen to it, as if there's an ethereal light source behind me. She's really sucking this up.
Good,
she nods to her minions.
Untie him.
They bend over the black cords that bind me, and as they loosen, I feel a very strange sensation in my chest, a gathering sensitivity, an awareness of the darkness around me. The ropes, part of the ritual apparatus prepared by the Brotherhood of the Skull for their own purposes so long ago, held their own gesh. It made me feel weak. But now they're gone, the sense of strangeness redoubles. I'm an alien in my own body. It's very disturbing.
Can you stand?
Iris asks me.
I'll try.
First, I try to sit up, using my left arm as a lever. It's clumsy and I'm physically unbalanced, and my right arm is still throbbing distantly, but I succeed. Throwing a leg out sideways, I crab round, then lean forward, and, with a silent apology, slide across the back of the mummified sleeper under the counterpane. Is it my imagination, or do they twitch and push back at me? I don't stop to find out, but continue sliding my feet towards the floor. It's like standing for the first time after being bedridden with a fever. At first, it takes all my energy, and I nearly black out. Everything goes grey for a few seconds, and there is a buzzing and chittering in my ears. But then my head clears, and I find I feel fine. I feel fine. And the feeling extends beyond me, beyond the walls of the crypt, out into the damp soil and among the tree roots and into the cavities encysted in the ground, their occupants now waking from their long slumber.
"I'm standing," I say, swaying slightly.
"Good."
Iris turns towards the altar.
"Behold, the Eater of Souls,"
she says, and takes my left wrist and holds it up, for all the world like a referee hailing a winning boxer.
"What would you have me do now?"
I ask her out of the corner of my mouth, hamming it up for the benefit of the audience.
"Nothing yet, but I have sent out a summons to our brethren. Next month we will hold another rite, and you will open the way to the gatekeeper. If all goes well, the Pharaoh shall walk Earth's ground again next March. Do you think you can do that?"
Silent voices tickle the back of my skull.
"What would you have us do, Lord?"
I tell them precisely what I want, in pedantically detailed Enochian, a dead language with which to command dead things.
"Eater, speak."
Iris stares at me. We're close enough that I can see that greenish glow reflected on her face.
"Oh, it's me. I'm glowing," I realize. "My eyes are glowing. I'm possessed."
I look at her.
"Iris," I say softly, "you've forgotten the first rule of applied demonology."